Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today is another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Today's question comes from Juanita in New Jersey. Now, there's a few questions wrapped up in this one, so this might be a slightly longer than usual episode. Juanita writes, I inherited a house and I rented it to a family member. It's been vacant for 10 years. I get emails and calls daily to buy it as the neighborhood has rebounded. I've located an interested builder to complete the renovations who will get permits, and he estimates the cost is $75,000. Otherwise, the house is paid off. First question, for rental properties, how do I decide as the owner whether to do a home equity line of credit to cover the renovation expense or pay a combination of home equity line of credit and cash or maybe just outright cash? Second question, I met with my tax attorney and he told me that I make too much money. I'm working full-time and my salary is $235,000. As a result, my maximum tax loss write-off is $25,000, but because I make too much money, I'm not eligible to write off a loss. It appears my best option is to focus on depreciation and other expenses, so I have no rental income or profitability from renting out the house. Is that accurate? This news has been discouraging, as my hope was to start investing in real estate and to leave my full-time job. And then the last question, how does one start building a real estate portfolio to hopefully become independent while working full-time? I'm being told the goal is to hit zero so I don't have an increased tax burden. I am a New Jersey resident, and I'm hoping that my hopes are not crushed. Well, Juanita, this is a great question. Several questions. I'm going to start by answering your last question first. Looking to replace your employment income. This is probably reasonable to assume that you're looking for another income source that has a degree of regularity. Money comes to you in one of three ways. Number one, that's earned income. Number two, residual income. And number three, capital gains. All forms of income fall into one of these three categories. If you're looking to replace your income with income from real estate, you need to consider carefully how each of these three components will contribute to the total income. Of all of these, capital gains can be often the largest, but it's also the least predictable in terms of amount and timing. That leaves earned income and residual income. You have a job now. Some people who transition into real estate start flipping houses. And they think that they're investing, but house flipping is actually an earned income method. And the proof of that is that once you stop flipping, then income stops slowing. So it's certainly possible to trade one job for another, but understand that that's precisely what you're doing if you go into that earned income segment. The second category is residual income. This is the cash that's thrown off by a business. In the case of a real estate business, that's the residual cash flow. As you probably calculated, a single rental unit will only generate a few hundred dollars a month in cash flow if you borrow a substantial portion of the property value. If you pay all cash for your rental real estate properties and don't borrow anything at all, then your income after operating expenses is also your cash flow. That could amount to a few thousand dollars a month, even from a single rental unit. Now, if you're leveraging your equity and borrowing to buy real estate, then you'll probably need, I'm guessing, somewhere between 400 and 600 rental units to fully replace your employment income at $235,000 a year. That sounds like a lot, but it could be easily accomplished with the purchase of two or maybe three apartment complexes. On the other hand, if you don't borrow funds to invest, you probably don't need that many rental units to replace your income. You might accomplish it with only 20 to 40 rental apartments. And if you're investing in vacation rentals in a really hot demand area like, say, the Florida Keys, that doesn't allow new vacation rentals into the market, you might be getting $700 to $1,000 a night in income for a well-situated property. You probably don't need many of those to be making pretty decent money. See, there's no one way to make money in this business. My company specializes in building apartments and building storage facilities, senior housing, and land development. There's so many ways to specialize in real estate. You could, for example, buy distressed hotels and convert them into apartments. So which strategy is going to be right for you? That's a much larger topic than we have time for in today's episode. So let me move to your second question, which was, what's the best way to offset your income and reduce tax? Now, I'm not in a position to provide you tax advice. However, I can arm you with a question that I think you should ask of your tax professional. As I understand the U.S. tax code, those who are classified as real estate professionals can use depreciation, including bonus depreciation, to offset other sources of income. However, being classified as a real estate professional is the key, and the IRS has some very specific definitions that you need to meet in order to qualify. So I would ask your knowledgeable, emphasizing knowledgeable, accountant about how to do that. Maybe it's not you that's a real estate professional, maybe it's your spouse, but there might be some way that you can qualify for that classification and get a more efficient tax structure. In terms of what form of debt to use, that's a function of personal investment philosophy and your risk tolerance. Now, a $70,000 loan is not going to put your property upside down. Home equity line of credit is going to be a variable interest rate loan. And like with most lines of credit, you're going to be required to make interest payments, but not necessarily principal payments. So you've got a decision to make about how much of the residual income you want to put towards principal paydown, if any. You might choose to keep the loan principal at that amount for the foreseeable future. My personal philosophy is hang on to cash and borrow when possible, but that's just me. I never run out of uses for cash when it comes to investing. You see, I tend to view the world as an all-you-can-eat buffet of opportunity, and we're continually saying no to opportunities that are presented to us. Even with that, we can see an endless place to put cash to work. Nothing says you need to borrow the funds now. You might choose, for example, to finance the project in cash and then borrow against your property when the need arises for cash for another investment. So the decision to borrow could be a later decision, maybe when interest rates are a little bit lower. That might be another option. Love that you're trying to figure this out and come up with a strategy that's going to work for you. I want to thank you, Juanita, for a fabulous question. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.